All right, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 17. And we will read the story, the situation that developed when our Lord was confronted by these 10 lepers. While you're turning, I need to have a brief council meeting right after church tonight in my office. All the members of the council, right after the service tonight in my office. And I won't keep you long, but very briefly right after the service tonight, please. All right, let's begin reading in the 11th verse and just read a few verses here to familiarize ourselves. And for those of you that are visiting with us tonight, this is the fourth message that I have preached from this passage of Scripture. And we're going to read the story just so you'll know what the theme is. And I'll give you a brief explanation and then we'll continue on. I'm preaching on a series of messages that I am entitling, Where's the Other Nine? Where's the Other Nine? And so we're going to look at another place where some of the other nine can be found tonight. In verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they," and I presume that means all 10, would you?
Yes.
"And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on," what's the next word?
Us.
I would presume that means all 10 of them, would you think? Okay, and so when he saw them, and I would presume he means when he saw all 10 of them, "When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest." And again, I would presume, it's just my opinion, but I think you'd agree with me, that he meant for all 10 of them to go and show themselves unto the priest. "And it came to pass that as they went," and again, I just personally think that the "they" there is all 10 of them, "they were cleansed." And one more time, I'm pretty sure that that means all 10 of them got cleansed. Would you not think that's what that means? Okay, just making sure. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here, folks. But verse 15 says, "And one of them," just one, "when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And that's the question that we've been asking. That's what we've been trying to determine. And we found some places in the Bible where the other 9 can be found. We're going to find another one tonight. But look at verse 18. "There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he," Jesus, "said unto him," the stranger, the one, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Whole. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for salvation. Lord, thank you for the mercy that you showed when you poured out your mercy on each and every one of us who know you as our Savior. And Lord, we were spiritual lepers. We had a disease called sin that was eating and destroying, just like physical leprosy does. But Lord, you had mercy upon us and you healed us of our leprosy. And Lord, we're so thankful for what you did for us. I pray now that as we take one more look tonight at this, that you will bless it. Father, I pray you will help me as I speak. I pray you will fill me with your Spirit, enable and help me. And Lord, I pray that you'll give ears to hear to every person. Lord, we need to see this. We need to understand this. We need to realize some things tonight. So Lord, bless and help us. And I pray that you will allow the message to stir our hearts to greater heights of service. Lord, there's such a need for for Christians to be faithful today and to stand and to, having done all, to stand. And Lord, not to be lured away and not to let the little things pile up to where they render us ineffective. So Lord, bless us tonight and help us to see the point. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been asking over the past several weeks, where's the other nine? And this is the question that the Lord Jesus asked concerning the other nine lepers whom he had cleansed of leprosy and sent to see the priest. And only one out of the ten came back and fell at his feet and thanked him for what he had just done that he cleansed him of his leprosy. All of them were cleansed, but only one came back and thanked the Lord Jesus for his mercy being extended. Only one who saw that he was healed of this dreaded disease stopped as he was on his way to the priest, and this one fellow came back to thank the Lord Jesus for what the Lord had done for him. Now, were the other nine cleansed? Were they healed of their leprosy? Yes, they were. The other nine were cleansed. They were healed of their leprosy. But it seems, as we learned last week, that the other nine were just satisfied. They were happy just to be clean, just to be cleansed. That was enough for them. They were satisfied with that. And they made a beeline to the priest and got their declaration from the priest that allowed them to be able to go to their homes and to live under their roofs with their families. It allowed them to re-enter the workforce. It allowed them to earn a living. It allowed them to be able to go to the synagogue if they so desire and to worship the Lord. But only one came back. And when this one out of the ten came back, the Lord Jesus said to him, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, the point that I've made is that leprosy is a disease that eats off your fingers, your digits. It eats off your toes. It eats off your hand. It eats off your foot. And it continues just to eat away and gnaw away at your limbs until it gets into your body. And then it attacks your vital organs and you die. It is a horrible, slow, excruciating, painful death. And someone who had leprosy had a death sentence written across their person because there was no cure for leprosy. The only cure was a divine cure if God did the healing. And they had this procedure that if you thought you were healed, you could go to the priest. The priest was trained to search for leprosy. And as the priest would look for the disease, if he saw that you had indeed been miraculously cured, he gave God the glory for it, and you were declared clean, and everything was fine. Now, this fella came back, and the others were just cleansed. That meant that if the leprosy had eaten off his fingers, and when the Lord cleansed him of his leprosy, he looked down at just the stub of his hand, but it was as white as snow. It was cured of the leprosy. He still didn't have any fingers, but his leprosy was gone. But this one man came back, and when he came back and fell at our Lord's feet, he thanked the Lord Jesus and gave glory to God for what had happened. And the Lord asked, "Where's the other nine? Were there not ten that were cleansed?" He said, "Sir, thy faith hath made thee," watch me now, "whole." So miraculously, listen, the God that can heal of an incurable disease is the same God that can put the fingers back on the hand. And so the Lord said to him in verse 19, "Arise, go thy way." Notice he did not tell him that he still had to go to the priest. He was not only cured of his leprosy, but his disease, the debilitating aspect of his disease was gone. He had gotten his limbs back. There was no need for him to go and show himself to the priest. He had been made whole. So instantly his fingers were restored. Instantly his foot was back on the end of his leg. And he could walk without the crutch, and it is amazing, but the man was made whole. And so the point that I am making in these messages is that when someone gets saved, if they will come back to the Lord and thank him, In other words, making a parallel, if they will come to church, which Jesus gave his life for, by the way, if they will come to church, if they will come back into the presence of the one who cleansed them of their spiritual leprosy, if they will fall at his feet and thank him, then church, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, prayer, soul winning, growing in grace, it all works together in your life to make you whole. It all works together in your life to make you whole. Where's the other nine? Now let me say again, let me just pause right here and say, as I've said with each message, I thank the Lord that all of you got saved and then you came back to the church. I mean, I praise God for that. We wouldn't be able to do what we do if you didn't. And now you're growing, and now you're not what you used to be, and now your attitude is changing, and your thought processes are becoming more and more like the Lord's. You're not perfect, but with each day, you are becoming more and more fashioned into the image of God's dear Son. You have God's hand upon you, which you never had before. You've got God's power upon you, which you've never had before. You've got power in prayer, which you've never had before. You've got a boldness to witness, and God uses you when you do witness. That's something you never had before. And so in the process of you coming back and falling at the feet of our Savior and thanking him for what he has done for you, you are becoming whole. Now, I sure wish the other nine would come back and let the Lord do for them what he's been doing for you. I really wish they would. I mean, I know a lot of the other nine, and it would serve them well to come back and let the Lord do for them what he's been doing for you. We win a lot of folks to Christ, and it seems that many of them are just happy, they're just satisfied to be cleansed of their leprosy. I mean, they're glad they don't have to go to hell now. I was thinking about it. I have gotten cards from people that I've led to Christ, thanking me for leading them to Christ. But I haven't ever seen them in church. I've gotten cards from them. I've been hugged. You know, lead somebody to Christ. I've seen tears stream down their faces. You stand there and go through the book of Romans and give them the plan of salvation and lead them to Christ. And I've seen the tears come down their faces. And then turn right around and hug you and thank you from the depths of their heart for leading them to Christ. I've had people reach in their pocket and say, "Let me give you something for sharing that with me." I said, "No, I didn't share that with you for profit. I shared it with you because I care about where you're going to spend eternity. Let me give you something for your trouble." And they try to pay you for sharing the gospel with them and leading them to Christ. Folks, it's amazing the response, how that some people, when they get miraculously healed of their spiritual leprosy, when they get saved, they are excited about it, they are thrilled about it, but they don't come to church. They don't come to church. And so the age-old question of the Lord is the question that the church has been asking since Pentecost: where are the other nine? Now, we have seen in these series of lessons, of messages, that some are like Demas. That was the first one. And we saw that Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world. We have seen that some are like Jonah, in that they are running from the will of God as it is revealed to them in the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of the Lord came unto Jonah, but Jonah, and he fled the other direction. And then last week, we saw that some are like Martha, in that they are too encumbered with the things of this life. I mean, we saw last week from the life of this dear lady that there are some folks that are just too busy with all the things that they have going on in their lives. They're just too busy to come to church. So where are the other nine? Well, tonight, I want us to consider another place where we might find some of the other nine. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. And I want to read to you a passage of Scripture that is not generally preached on because of its subject content. But let me preach from it tonight and draw some application from it. It's in the Word of God, and so it has relevance, it has purpose, it has meaning, and there are things we can glean from it, so let's not shy away from it. Look, please, if you will, at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It is reported, what's the next word?
Commonly.
Now, you understand what that means, don't you? I mean, everybody was talking about it. This was not something that just one or two people knew about. This was something that everybody knew about. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication is as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, this is appalling. I mean, this kind of behavior. Paul said, listen, unsaved heathen Gentiles don't even act like this couple's acting. I mean, the world doesn't even do this. The world does it today, but Paul said back in his day, the world doesn't even behave like this. The world doesn't even act like this. And verse 2, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, watch this now, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. And here's his ruling. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, in other words, the next church service, he said, in my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the what? Flesh. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, folks, let me stop right here and say that whole denominations have been established trying to figure out where's the other nine. Did y'all get that? I mean, entire denominations have been created trying to explain from a biblical perspective where's the other nine. Now, I want to serve notice on you. It doesn't get a whole lot worse than what this old boy was doing in that church 2,000 years ago. Nod your heads with me. It doesn't get a whole lot worse. I'm sure it could get worse, and I'm not going to say it couldn't, because as soon as you say it couldn't, it will. And I don't want to deal with it. But this, listen, Paul did not say in verse 5 to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his soul. He said the destruction of his flesh. What's his flesh? That's his body. Paul said, you deliver, if he's not going to repent, if he won't repent of this and get this right with God, turn him over, say, okay, you're out of the church, and we're going to turn you over and just let the devil kill you. And Paul's point is that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. The man did not lose his salvation because of this sin. The man lost his life because of this sin. And Paul's point is, I would rather you turn that guy over and go ahead and let God pull his hand away and let the devil kill him, as let him continue this charade that he's living, and continue to drag the name of the Lord through the mud. That's a bad testimony to Christ. How many people have you heard say, well, I would go to church, but you know, Christians are no better than we are. We ought to be. We ought to be. And so the age-old question, where's the other nine? Now listen very carefully, folks. Some of the other nine just plain and simply don't want to give up their sin. They just don't want to do it. Hey, can I remind you that we're told in the Scripture there is a sin unto death? You know, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised at some of the folks that are up there prematurely, and unbeknownst to us, they're there because there is a sin unto death. Where's the other nine? Tonight, some of the other nine simply don't want to give up their sin. They won't do anything for God because they're not willing to deal with the sin that is commonly in their lives. They just don't want to give it up. I know folks, I've had folks tell me, you know, I mean, unsaved people, I've had them tell me, I don't want to get saved. Why not? Well, if I get saved, I'll have to give up my drinking. And I don't want to give up drinking. I've had people tell me that. I've had people actually tell me that. They don't want anything to do with that. But you know, I wonder how many folks came, let's say, to the Living Cross, and they watched that powerful program for 2 hours. And man, the Holy Spirit of God just got a hold of their hearts and just shook them to the very foundation. And I got up then and explained the gospel to them. And for maybe the first time in their lives, they understood that they needed the Lord. And in the tenderness of the moment and under the conviction of the Spirit and the power of the service, they prayed with me that sinner's prayer and asked the Lord Jesus to save them. And I said, if you're saved tonight, if you prayed the prayer and you meant it, raise your hand. And they raised their hand and we rejoiced in the fact that they got saved. And maybe they even shed tears. Maybe they even rejoiced in their own hearts and just were thrilled in their own hearts. And then they started out the door and folks shook their hand and folks were smiling at them. And somebody said, hey man, I saw you raise your hand. I'm glad you got saved tonight. And he said, thank you. I'm glad I got saved too. And then as soon as he got outside the door, the battle started. I mean, the battle started. And he'd been down there feeding that flesh for 35, 40, 50 years. He had been pouring alcohol into his system for 30 years or so. And as soon as he got outside, the battle started. He's only been saved for 10 minutes. And he gets down to, do I want to serve God or do I want to serve my sin? And you know, a lot of folks don't have the strength to say, I want to serve God. And so we said, well, he wasn't really saved. I'd be careful. My Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. Not good chance. Not there's a 94% probability. No, it says if you call, he will save. Now, just a couple of things. First of all, what was happening here, look at verse 1. What was happening here was commonly known. Commonly known. Folks, might I remind you that the event that Paul is referencing here is not something that happened in 2008. I got my sign up here. Can I remind you that what Paul is referencing here didn't even happen in 2007, which I think it still is. No, this was happening in Paul's day 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, folks, I want you to realize that as long as there have been sinners saved by grace, there have been sinners in the church. As long as there's been sinners saved by grace. I want you also to notice, not only was this reported commonly, I want you to notice what he said. He says, verse 1, go to it. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication. What's the next two words? Among you. Hey, folks, these people were in the church. This is, if you go back to the beginning of the book, you will read, it says, the first epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Corinthians. And he talks about in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, et cetera. And then in verse 2, he says, unto the church. This was written to a church. This was written to a church. And these people were committing fornication. and they were living in, or they were in the church. In other words, they were members of the church. Now you say, oh, well, you wouldn't have someone doing something like this. Why, this is awful. This is just terrible. This is shameful. I agree. But dear friend, listen, you would be surprised what goes on in the name of the Lord in our churches. You'd be surprised. And look at verse 5. In verse 5, Paul said the church needed to deliver these two over to the devil to allow the devil to kill them. But notice, not to send them to hell. No, the destruction was of their flesh, of their physical. And he went on to say that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. The point is, folks, and what I'm trying to get you to understand here and throw aside all the man-made theology that we have built around ourselves to support what we think, and just read the Bible and believe what the Bible says. And I want you to notice that these were saved people. But the point is, because of their sin, now listen to me now, because of their sin, they were hindered from serving the Lord. So where's the other nine? Well, some of them are living in open, blatant sin, and until they give up the open, blatant sin, they will not, you will not find them sitting or falling at the feet of Jesus and thanking Him and worshiping Him and praising God for saving their souls. Where's the other nine? Well, I can't tell you. I can tell you that there are people that used to be here, and I mean they used to serve in the church, and they used to sing in the choir, and they used to work on the bus routes, and they used to be in the Soul Winners Club, and they used to get up here on the platform and sing, and then we came in one day and they were not in their place. And we thought, I wonder where they are. I wonder where they are. And then we find out in a few weeks or a few months that they didn't want to give up their sin. And so now they're hindered. Now they're hindered. Where's the other nine? You say, well, a saved person wouldn't do something like that. Tell that to David. I want you just to go have a little conversation with David. You remember that it was the time when the kings were to go forth to battle, but David didn't want to leave his cushy feather bed. He didn't want to leave his five-star chef. He didn't want to leave the comforts of home, and so he stayed behind when everybody else was gone. When all the men folk were out of town, David was home, and he walked out on the balcony one night and saw Bathsheba on her rooftop. And I got a question for you. Why was she out on the rooftop taking a bath anyway? Something wrong there. Should have got a whooping's what she should have done. And I guarantee you, if her husband had been home, she wouldn't have been out there on that rooftop taking a bath. That's just a little sidebar. That didn't cost you a dime. But you see, there was a time when kings go forth to battle. David stayed home. And when he saw Bathsheba on the rooftop, the next thing you know, David has made a mess out of his life. Was David not saved? Of course he was saved. Of course he was saved. Where's the other nine? Where's the other nine? Well, if you're saved, you wouldn't be out here drinking. All right, would somebody tell Noah that? I mean, well, if you're out here drinking, you're not going to be out here running around with the world and cussing and carrying on. Tell Peter about that, would you? Talk to the Apostle Peter about that. I mean, he's out there warming himself by the fire, and someone said, I know you. You're one of his disciples. And Peter starts cussing. So I wasn't one of him. No, I didn't know him. And he starts cussing. Hey, folks, 50 days later, he stands up and 60 days later, he stands up and he preaches the sermon on the day of Pentecost. Wonder if all them people knew their preacher was a cussing preacher. I wonder. Are you listening to me, folks? Well, you wouldn't be out here drinking. Tell Noah that. Noah got off the ark and made some wine and got drunk and committed one of the most heinous sins that a person can commit. Incest. I got a phone message a couple weeks ago. It was, my phone was, green light was blinking, red light was blinking, whatever light it is. I pushed a button, picked it up, and said, type in your code. So I typed in my code. And it said, you have one new message. So I put the message. I usually, if it's ringing in the mornings, on Sunday mornings, I normally don't answer it. Because I don't want to get discouraged before I come in to preach. So normally I don't answer. That's the honest truth. But I did. And I wished I hadn't. But I picked it up, typed it in, and it hit press L. So I hit L. And so I'm listening. And it said, I hope that I've gotten a hold of the pastor at the church, the Open Door. I think that this is the right extension. And he said, Pastor, you don't know me, and I don't attend your church. But I just thought you ought to know that one of your church members was out in the public, out in the community this week, and lost his temper and used some very foul language, and I heard it, and I was so shocked. And I just thought you ought to know. No names, just thought you ought to know. Click. And I thought, well, my goodness, you ought to come to a council meeting one night. No, I'm kidding. And I stood there and I thought, what was the purpose for that? I mean, they didn't tell me a name. They didn't tell me which one of you it was that lost your temper. I might hazard a guess here and there. But they did not tell me who you were. And I thought, what was the purpose of that? You know, here's the purpose. They tried to reach up there and go, it's a slap against the Lord. It was a slap against Jesus. I wonder if anybody is calling the other churches in the air and reporting on behavior. Wonder if anybody's doing that. I doubt it. But they call me and report on your behavior. I told you people know where you go to church. I told you you better watch yourself when you're out. You think, oh, nobody cares that I go to the church, the Open Door. Yes, they do. And they know exactly where you go. Better be careful out there, Christian. You know, the truth is, folks, we would all probably be shocked at the things that go on in our churches. I mean, there's hardly a week passes, but what I don't hear some commonly reported information. Well, Pastor, did you know? And just when you think you've heard it all, lo and behold, some new little morsel comes along your way. And soon you realize that there is no depth to how low even saved people can stoop into sin. And Christian, listen, I say that to say this. You had better be careful when you start hearing this stuff or when you see this stuff. And you will hear it and you will see it. And you'd better be careful. The first thing you need to do before you criticize and start wagging your tongue is realize that but by the grace of God, there go I. Secondly, you need to resolve that you're going to stay in the book and you're going to stay faithful to church. You're going to stay at Jesus' feet. I mean, you're already emulating this one that came back, and you just ought to make up your mind that you're going to stay at Jesus' feet and that you're going to continue to be made whole so the devil can't and is not able to lure you down the road to the destruction of the flesh. Be careful. Now let me chase a rabbit for just a minute. here's something that just, oh my goodness, this grates on me like nobody's business. You know, we, the one who came back, we will sometimes sit around like a bunch of Pharisees and thank God that we're not committing sins like others are committing. You know, the what we think are these just awful sins. And the whole time we're sitting around running others down for not wanting to be or not willing to give up their sins. The whole time that we're sitting around with our pharisaical attitude, we have a critical, caustic, rotten attitude about everything that's going on. Folks, can I remind you that sin is sin? Can I listen? I think it's awful what this boy did, and I would have, had I been the pastor of the church at Corinth, as soon as I heard about it, I would have handled it. I promise you. You said, "Well, how do you know?" Because that's what I do here. That's what I do here. Well, I didn't know that. Yes, quite regularly. I'll say more about that in a moment. But, if I were the pastor, I'd have dealt with this. I would have handled this in a heartbeat. But here's something that just bothers me. I tell you, we sit around and we'll talk about, well, did you hear? Why he's living with his stepmother. Why, if that's not an abomination, oh, be quiet, here he comes. And I walk by, oh, I can't stand him. Who does he think he is? I tell you who I think I am. Everybody got your ears on? Listen now. I'm the pastor of the church. I mean, I feel that I have a biblical responsibility to preach on sin. I know you don't like it. But I have a biblical mandate to preach on sin. And if I just happen to be preaching on your sin, then so be it. But don't get mad at me and call me a dictator. So with that old dictator preacher we got, hey, folks, somebody has got to keep it clean. Somebody's got to watch over it. That's my job. Boy, I tell you, that sermon he preached the other night, well, that just ticked me off. You ought to be up here to altar is what you ought to be. You ought to be up here at the altar. Look, folks, sin is sin. And what these kids did was sin. It was awful. It was disgraceful for a Christian to commit fornication. It's awful for Christians to drink. It's a shame when Christians are out here bar hopping on Saturday night and singing Amazing Grace on Sunday morning. It's a shame for that stuff to happen. And I'll bind you if I find out about it, I'm going to do what I can do to stop it. Amen. I'll say more about that in a minute. But folks, understand this. When people are living like this, they're not going to hit a lick for God. That's the point. They're not going to do a thing for God. They're not going to lead anybody to Christ. They're not going to be blessed in their teaching or in their singing. But the truth is, it's just as wicked. It's just as sinful. It's just as disgraceful for us to sit around the one that came back. It's just as wicked for us to sit around with a bad spirit and run everybody down and run everything down and have our bitterness and our bad spirit and our disdain for others just drain the very life out of the person that we can get our fangs into. You better be careful, Christian. Where's the other nine? Some are living in sin, and they aren't here because they're going through some sin in their lives. Maybe there's some infidelity in the home, and they're getting a divorce, or maybe they like their honky tonk music, or their disco music, or their karaoke music, or they like their line dancing down here, or they like their barn dancing over there, or they like their tutu wearing ballet stuff over here. And where's the other nine? They're out here doing everything else and living in blatant sin when they should be in the house of God. Where's the other nine? Do you know the really sad thing to me is that some are here. Oh, they don't drink and they don't smoke and they don't do drugs and they don't commit adultery, but they aren't living for the Lord themselves. They're here, but they aren't worshiping God in spirit and truth. That's why we need a revival in our churches today. They're here, but the truth is they're not growing. I mean, the truth is they're at the same spiritual level today that they were 10 years ago. They're no closer to God today than they were 10 years ago. As a matter of fact, their attitude's a little bit worse today than it was 10 years ago. Where's the other nine? Well, some of them are just out in sin. And let me say secondly, and I'm almost done. When I sat and thought about this, I thought, okay, now where am I going to go from here? And I thought, well, here's where we need to go. Hey, folks, we simply need to take care of our own walk. You need to be concerned about your own walk. I mean, your own walk. This one leper wasn't on his face thinking about where's the other nine. Huh? He came running back and he fell at the Lord's feet and he was going, thank you, Lord. It never crossed his mind where's the other nine until Jesus brought it up. And you'll notice he didn't even answer. He didn't know where they were. All he knew was he was concerned about himself. And you know, I think that's where we need to be. I think we just ought to be concerned about ourselves. I mean, listen, thank God for caring for others, and I'm not against that. Thank God for discipling others, and I'm not against that. But let me tell you something, Christian. You had better take care of your own spiritual walk, because nobody else is going to do it. Listen, folks, you know, if we would be more concerned about our own position and where we are with the Lord, we wouldn't have time to worry about somebody else's. I mean, my job is to keep the church pure. And your job is to keep you pure. If you've been here for any length of time, you have noticed that some people just suddenly seem to vanish from the spotlight. If you've been here for any length of time, you'll notice that as time goes on, all of a sudden there are people that just, poof, it's just like they disappear. Off the platform, out of the choir, out of the orchestra, out of the Sunday school, off the buses. They just kind of vanish. They just gone. And you know, sometimes, listen carefully now, if it's handled right, and they receive it as from the Lord, they will be back in the spotlight again someday. And you've noticed that if you've been paying attention. But the point is, folks, I sometimes have to discipline some of our folks. I sometimes have to step in there. I have to go to them and remove them from the platform. I have to go to them and remove them from teaching. That's a part of my job and as much a part of my job as what I'm doing right now. Well, that pastor is nothing but a dictator. He just runs a church with an iron fist. No, I'm not a dictator. I am a shepherd taking care of the sheep that God has entrusted me with. Amen. And some of you have said, and I got to be careful how I phrase this because I don't want to anger anybody. I've already angered everybody all night anyway. But I've had some people come to me and they've said, critically, we've lost some people. Yes, we have. Do you know why? No, I don't. Well, I do. Because I've had to take a stand or two. And when they pushed, I didn't bend. Listen, folks, it's not an easy thing to take a Carroll Christian School young person who is a member of the Church of the Open Door and have to expel them. That is a hard thing to do. But boy, I'm telling you, I mean, stand up at the beginning of the year in chapel and say, teenager, listen, don't drink, don't drink, don't go out here and do that. Don't. And if you do, you're going to be expelled. We can't graduate pregnant teenagers, can't do it. And we're not going to do it. You're not going to walk across this platform drunk and get your diploma. You're not going to walk across this platform high and get your diploma. Now, you better not do it. And inevitably, they do. There's only been two or three years where there hasn't been a senior expelled for drinking. And you know, it's okay if I kick your kid out, but boy, if I kick your kid out, I'm in trouble. Doesn't bother you if it's somebody else's kid, but if it's your kid, then all of a sudden, I'm the devil incarnate. How dare you kick? Well, we've been in that church for 35 years. I know. And it grieves me to have to do this. It grieves my soul. I don't sleep. It grieves me to have to do that. And we've lost people. Because I won't bend. Amen. I'm just not going to bend. Folks, I'm not bending on this book. Now, the sky is blue and grass is green and snow is cold and rain is wet. And Pope's Catholic. Some things just are what they are. And I believe this Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And I'm not bending on it. I'm not bending on it. And you know, as time goes on and our world becomes more and more politically correct and it just grates on people that there's authority who is telling them what to do and how to do it. Listen, folks, it's my job to stand up here and tell you how to do it and what to do. It's my job. God has called me to do this. And I have to stand up here and preach the way God has enabled me to know how to preach. I cannot compromise on that. Just can't do it. I want to serve notice on you that I love you, and that's why I preach. Listen, there are some times I know as I'm sitting over here and going to walk up here, you're going to get mad at me tonight. I know that. Say, well, then why do you do it? Because I love you. I love your kids. I want your kids to have a chance. I want your kids to turn out. And it's amazing, these little 10 and 11 and 12-year-old kids, man, they get more than most of you adults get. I have them come up to me after the service and hand me my outline, where they wrote my outline down. That's pretty good, because I didn't even know I had an outline. It's amazing. I say, you mind if I keep this? I can preach this someday. It's amazing. I sometimes have to discipline some folks. And folks, listen, I'm just not going to sit back. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to sit back and allow the devil to destroy us. But I'm also not going to take these dear people that I have to discipline and parade them in front of the whole congregation and have a public stoning. Now, we're not going to do that either. We're in the salvaging business. And thank God a lot of them we've salvaged. You don't know about that. You don't need to know about that. It's none of your business. But I'm telling you, sitting in every section of this auditorium tonight are people that have been salvaged. And thank God for that. But so we're not going to, I mean, this is not a museum. This is a hospital. We're trying to make people whole again. All right? And a vital part of my job is to keep it pure and keep it whole. Your job is to stay at Jesus' feet. Now, you let me do my job, and I will do it. And one more thing. It may take me a little longer to do it than what you would want. But you let me do it. I mean, it may take me a little longer to act than what you would act, or I may act quicker than you would have. But my point is, let me do my job, and you just concentrate on your position. And your position is to stay at Jesus' feet. Hey, folks, stay in the book. Read your Bible. Stay faithful to church. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Learn how to walk with God. Learn how to win souls to Christ. Get involved in some area of ministry where you're not just receiving all the time, but where you're also giving. Because you see, with us here, with the one that came back, in most cases, it's the little things that ruin us. You know, we've been talking about adultery here. We've been talking about drinking, and we've been talking about gambling, and we've been talking about all this stuff. That stuff's not what's going to get you. The devil, he doesn't even tempt you to drink. Some of you he does, but most of you, he doesn't even buy. If I took a poll in here tonight and said, how many of you have been tempted to do heroin today? None of you have been tempted to do heroin. Well, maybe one or two. No, he doesn't come at you with that. He knows it's futile. He knows it's a waste of time. But like Solomon said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Just those little foxes that come, and nobody even knows they're there. They come in the middle of the night, and they're just little tiny guys. And they sneak up, and they crawl up, and then they get up, eat those buds when they come out. And the farmer goes out there, and the next morning, he goes, my grapes are ruined. Who's done this? And he sees those little itty-bitty paw prints. Wasn't a big fox, it was that little fox that spoiled the vines. And you know, that's exactly how the devil gets the one that came back. I mean, he gets you looking at life through critical eyes. He gets you watching the pulpit through critical eyes. You know, folks, in the grand scheme of things, there's a whole lot more to fuss about than just how loud I am. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, there's a whole lot more to fuss about in life than the fact that Pastor Stainer preaches about soul winning all the time, talks about it. Whole lot more things to fuss about and gripe about in life than to complain that Brother Holbrook does this or does that. If we don't take care of the little things now, I mean the little things like coming to church and reading your Bible and praying daily and witnessing for the Lord. If we don't take care of those things, over time our hearts can drift and you can grow cold and even callous, and who knows what you're capable of doing down the road. Better be careful, Christian. Where's the other nine? Well, some are just all caught up in sin. They're living in sin. They're enjoying sin. By the way, for a season. Won't last. It won't last. And you know, a lot of them, when that season's over, they come back. Oh, they got scars and they're bruised and they're cut and they're battered and they're walking with limp. And they come in, can you help me? And yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. And we will. That's why we have Reformers Program. That's why we have a bus ministry. That's why we have a jail ministry. That's why we preach the gospel. Yeah, we can help you. Yep. But you know, for that old one boy that came back and stayed at Jesus' feet, worshiped him, that'd be a whole lot better position for you to stay than to be like the others and go on to the priest. I see him all the time. All the time. Folks, you realize how many people, just in the years that I have been here as pastor of the church, what, 120 now, right? I mean, just in the years that I've been the pastor here, do you realize how many we'd have if everybody was like this one man and everybody came back? I mean, that blows my mind to think about it. Where would we put them? I don't know how many acres we got left, Bob. What, 72? 72? We got 72 acres left. I'll guarantee you 72 acres would give us. We'd be hard-pressed with 72 acres to figure out what to do if everybody was like this fella. We'd probably have 10,000 here tonight. Folks, here is what I want to say, and I'm done. It's time that some of you quit worrying about where the other nine are and start worrying about how you can do the things that will assure that you're not out there joining them one day. You better stay in this book. Yeah.